Oilers. We're the Houston Oilers. Houston Oilers. Houston Oilers number one. Yes, we're the Houston Oilers. Houston Oilers. Houston Oilers number one.
Everyone, you're listening to Battle Red Radio. I'm Matt Weston, and this evening I'm joined by the Vera Tucker to my Elijah, my good friend Taylor. How are you doing tonight, man?
I'm doing okay. You know, just watching the whole Twilight series on Netflix. Got to play some golf. You know, it's been a really busy week for me, so I'm doing okay.
I don't know how you do it.
It's just a busy time to have to go through a romance about vampires and then having to go outside to then play golf with that in your head. It takes a lot of focus to be able to get through the tough and the rough.
Yeah, I sometimes I think back on how my, you know, great-great-great-grandfather who came here and lived in Pennsylvania was killed by Indians, so he went through. And I think about myself and the constant struggle I have to go through.
Dude, tell me about it.
I was watching The Sopranos the other day, and it kept skipping on the same part for every 3 seconds. I had to exit out of it and then play it all over again for it to work. Can you believe that?
By the way, did you hear that there's going to be like a movie?
Yeah.
How does that make you feel?
It's fine. I mean, it's his son playing it. I don't know. It looks crappy,
though.
You're
there opening night, obviously, because you're the biggest fan. You say this is your all-time favorite show. You're there opening night.
Maybe. I don't know.
Who are you then? How is it your favorite show?
I just didn't like the way it looked. It looks like all like gray and blue, you know? Like it doesn't look real. It looks like it's a computer thing. It's like, yeah, it takes place in the streets of New Jersey. It should be filmed in New Jersey. It's not that hard. Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
I just say how every movie now is computer. It's in a warehouse in Hollywood somewhere.
Not Twilight. Twilight is all about real settings, real people,
real love.
Yeah. Real love, man.
I went to Forks. It was a very silly place. The best thing about Forks was that you could just, they sold like smoked salmon in all the stores there. So you just like walk in and just buy like salmon, you just eat salmon all the time. It was like $7.
So it's just salmon on a stick that's hanging out?
It's in like a freeze-dry bag.
Nice.
Yeah,
we're gonna have to go to Forks. I need to go and visit the places, man. I feel like this is where I need to go.
We can go do a 2-night backcountry trip on the beach of Olympia, and all you do is just walk along the beach, and it's beautiful. It's not strenuous at all. It's just nice.
And we don't have to bring the wives.
No.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure this is boys' time.
Yeah, boys' time only. The only good time is boys' time. So if you forget, I guess we kind of forgot. We did this exact same thing last night, and my estrogen-riddled, you know, virgin MacBook crashed, and so we're doing this again. But we're kicking off the 2021 NFL season, sponsored by Bush's Baked Beans, and we're starting with the AFC East division preview because, look, there's not all the good things about the Houston Texans. One of the good things about them, though, is watching Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. So we're going to kick off things off a high note with Buffalo.
It's not anything to do with the Texans. I don't know. How do you say, oh, yeah, well, as a Texans fan, you can just watch Josh Allen. That's not a Texans thing.
It's the answer to all your ills.
No. Apparently, yeah. Bush's beans are.
Apparently. The newest Texans news is that they came out with the Texans puppy. Because everybody has terrible things to say about the football team. And like, maybe if we post pictures of this puppy, they won't say mean things to us. But not only that, they gave the puppy its own Twitter account. And they're like, oh, I can't go Texans, rough, rough, you know, and things like that. I'm like, this is the most embarrassing thing I've ever seen. This is for children and babies. They're afraid of people saying mean things to them on the internet, so they gave a puppy a Twitter account.
But see, that would all make sense if this was like the Georgia Bulldogs where you're raising like the dog to be your mascot.
Or a baby bull? Fine, I guess.
See, exactly. I don't know why. Where did the puppy come from?
And hey, that puppy, Texans puppy, if I see you, it's on sight. Don't you ever step up in my face. It's on sight. I'm not afraid of kicking a dog.
Hold on, is it a cute puppy though?
I'm not afraid to kick a dog.
No, is it a cute puppy though?
Yeah, it's not. It's gonna look real cute underneath my boot.
You know what? It's probably adorable, and that's why you don't want to admit it.
It's on site, Texans puppy, if I ever see you in the streets.
Okay, I'm gonna have to look up this puppy now.
But yeah, that's the big Texans news, is that they are so tired of being called, you know, idiots, and they're so tired of being told to sell the team that they gave a puppy a Twitter account to hide beneath the fear of it.
Look how adorable he is.
That's a demonic entity. It came here directly from Moloch. Don't get wrapped up in its lies.
He's a Labrador Retriever, and he's 10 weeks old. Dude, how adorable. Now I'm a Texans fan. This is great marketing.
You can get season tickets for $50 this year if you want it.
Well, with the puppy, I have to. So I'm in.
Do you want to go to a Texans game next year?
Yeah, we have to.
I'm going to go week 18 against the Titans when they're 1-17.
Why are you going to wait until the very last
game? I want there to be 7,000 people in the stands.
But there's nothing that's happy in
the stands.
That's
the point.
That's the whole point.
I want to go to the bottom of misery.
At least if you're in the middle of the season, people are still wanting to enjoy themselves because people are wanting to see a win or two.
Nope.
If you're going the last game after full-on depression has set in for the whole season, Matt, I wouldn't do it.
I want to see Julio versus Vernon Hargraves in person. That's what I want to see. I want to see Derrick Henry run for 275 yards again.
I'm actually nervous for the puppy now for the season.
If I see him.
No, there's no scene. Look how adorable. No, I'm upset. I'm a fan of the Texans.
So we're doing the 2021 NFL season preview. We're going to do 15 minutes on each team along with the Vegas win totals. We're going to give it over under and also give a cute little prediction too. And I'm going to keep track of all these and maybe we'll remember next year and see who did the best.
You know what? I felt like last season we were pretty split.
Yeah, I beat you, I think, by like 5 games last year.
Well, no, I meant like prediction-wise.
Yeah, we did pretty good.
Yeah.
We had 2 really bad weeks, but we did good aside from that.
Yeah, see, and you know what? I'm going to say that we were probably about 70%, and that's a C. All we need is a C, a passing grade.
Yeah, and I mean, I think the biggest thing we were good about was the Bucks beating the Packers. That was my favorite thing we did.
Yeah, that was easy.
We were on that from the beginning.
Oh, yeah, from the start. And we even laughed whenever it came down in the playoffs. We said, this is over.
Yep, exactly. All right, so Buffalo Bills. I'm going to start the clock here for 15 minutes. I feel like we're just going to have the exact same conversation we had all over again, but just better. So the last time we saw the Buffalo Bills, they were playing the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC Championship game. The Bills kicked a lot of field goals. Patrick Mahomes was able to kind of do whatever he wanted to after Mecole Hardman had a fumble on a kickoff return. And since that time, they went to the offseason, really didn't do a whole lot. They kind of kept the same team. They traded out John Brown for Emmanuel Sanders. They added Mitch Trubisky to replace Matt Barkley. They have a second tight end here to pair with Dawson Knox and Jacob Hollister. They had Ife Udoba to rush the interior. Matt Breida is like a home run hitting running back, and they added 3 backups in Forrest Lamp, Jamil Douglas, and Tyrell Adams, and they drafted 2 pass rushers in the first 2 rounds in Greg Rousseau and Carlos Basham. So, I mean, it's pretty much the same team again, and they're running it back, and so are you expecting the Bills to have any sort of regression all this year, or do you think it's going to be another season similar to last year?
I think my kind of only biggest worry, and again, I mean, we've talked about this extensively last night. So when it comes to the Josh Allen, that's my biggest worry. It's not to say it's Josh Allen, but from the leap that he made from 2019 to 2020 was so huge, such a gigantic thing, that now it's not necessarily he has to do it again, but he's going to have to stay there. Mm-hmm. Because this is the same team in a way, and again, we've talked about it. I'm just still not quite confident that you have to be able to take pressure off of the guy. So you would think you would have to mix in some type of running game. And with Singletary and Zach Moss only getting the 400 yards each, I'm not confident. I know they try to work Singletary in the passing game later on. That's my biggest concern. Otherwise, I still have this team top 3. I mean, I think we have to. Even with the AFC being stacked, the Buffalo Bills are still – with the defense being improved, with Josh Allen still being what we expect him to be, it's still got to be a top three team.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think in the AFC, I think it's like, you know, them, Baltimore, Cleveland.
AFC's disgusting with how stacked it is compared to the NFC right now.
Yeah, Tennessee and the Chargers. I think those are the teams that can compete with Kansas City this year, and I would keep Buffalo in there. And like, I think that's a good point you mentioned. Like, the leap was so enormous that it's going to be kind of hard to expect him to have, you know, 4,700 total yards again, 45 total touchdowns again. But I still expect him to be like a top five quarterback. Maybe if like the worst comes to worst, he's a, you know, the seventh best quarterback in the NFL next year. But I think one of the things I'm actually kind of excited for, though, is Emmanuel Sanders. So I know John Brown was hurt for a lot of last year, but I think Emmanuel Sanders would be kind of similar to how Sammy Watkins was with the 2019 Chiefs when they won their Super Bowl, where you have so much attention devoted to Stephon Diggs, so much attention devoted to Cole Beasley, that you're, and then also if you get anything at all out of the tight end position, and Gabriel Davis is such a great deep threat too, that on the backside of the formation, if you get Emmanuel Sanders against, you know, fourth cornerbacks, you know, third cornerbacks, I think he could have a good year in that role and be kind of like a surprising player. Cause like, I still think Sanders is good. I think he's one of the most underrated route runners of like the last 10 years, but like he played for San Francisco, who at Garoppolo, and he was okay there that year after he was traded midseason from Denver. And last year he played for New Orleans, and Breeze could only throw the ball to Alvin Kamara on screen passes, and that was kind of all they could do. So I am kind of excited to see Sanders in that role. I think having a fourth wide receiver who's good will be able to open this offense up and kind of give another level, where now they can run a lot more empty formations, a lot more shotgun formations, instead of everything kind of being, you know, one tight end, one running back, three wide receiver personnel.
Well, no, and I agree with you. I think that Emmanuel Sanders is going to be able to take some pressure off here. I'm just, it's kind of like what we talked. So you have Emmanuel Sanders, you have Cole Beasley, the anti-vaxxer galore. You also have Stephon Diggs.
It's Cole McCartney.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
And then you have Gabriel Davis, who you brought up. And didn't Davis have like 8 touchdowns last year?
Yeah, and they're all like over 40 yards too.
Yeah, so you have so many guys here where I get what you're saying. You're pumped with the Emmanuel thing. It's just I don't really see how he fits, because is this really a need? How many touches are you expecting him to truly get here?
I mean, if he had like 45 catches, that'd be a great year. You know what I mean? Like, I think there's going to be certain matchups that dictate it. It's kind of like how Sammy Watkins was in that Super Bowl run. Like, he didn't do anything. He had that big game week one. And the Super Bowl, he had like 8 catches for 90 yards because he was just 1-1 on the backside of the play against like Akella Witherspoon, and just made a ton of catches and kind of helped their offense a lot in big situations. And so I think they can kind of rely on Sanders that way too. The other thing about this team on offense was that they had a lot of injuries on the interior of their offensive line. And so they couldn't run the ball at all. You know, Singletary didn't break very many tackles. Zach Moss fumbled too often. But like, they also didn't get very much of a push at all either. And it was kind of surprising considering, you know, how well they ran the ball the year previously. And Josh Allen was their best running back too last year. But I just think, like, if they're healthy on the interior, I think the offensive line is a good batch of players. I like the talent here. I like their run scheme. And so I don't think the run game is going to be one of the worst ones in the NFL this year. I think it's going to see a jump too. And so I think like the biggest thing about the Bills is, you know, even the passing game drops, you know, to like the seventh best this year. I think there's going to be enough of a jump up in the rushing game, their defense too, to kind of fill in the gaps that they're going to still stay at that top five position at the end of the season.
But isn't that, I mean, I know you're kind of big on saying that they're going to be able to like take that next step or at least be good enough. I just think their O-line's not that impressive. I mean, I think that it's decent. I just don't think that it's the greatest, where once again, my worry is it's all coming down to Allen being able to be that greatness, where if he's going to be able to have the 8 TDs from rushing, 37 from passing, and just the 10 interceptions, I mean, then hell yeah, this is the same Buffalo team. I don't think I'm going to get anything out of the running game still.
Nothing
Nothing at all. Nothing special. Nothing to be able to tip my hat to. With the defense, I think you've nailed it at the beginning there. I think it's a top 5 defense all the way around, from what they have with the corners to their safety, who is probably easily one of the best. Man, the offensive line, I'm still not that confident like you here.
They were getting pass protecting better than run blocking. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. They were good at 2 years ago, you know.
It's just middle of the pack.
Cody Ford was hurt. Feliciano was hurt last year. Morse got hurt. Yeah, there's a lot of change around the interior. And so, again, like, obviously a couple of injuries kind of changed all that, too. You know, defensively, they went from bad in the beginning of the year where they're like, yeah, they have to have Allen playing like how he's doing for them to win games. They gave up 28 points to Miami, 32 to Los Angeles, 23 to Vegas, 42 against Tennessee. And then they kind of, like, you know, got better from there at that point after the Arizona game. And they kind of turned from, like, bad to, you know, mediocre. And kind of end the year playing pretty well until Kansas City scorched them pretty good. But, like, this is still a defense that was 2 years removed from being a top-five defense. They added 3 pass rushers this offseason. They have pass rush depth, even though they haven't got a whole lot out of them. They kept Matt Milano. Their linebacker group's good. They have one of the better secondaries in football, too. And they kept Leslie Frazier as their defensive coordinator. Both him and Daboll didn't get head coaching jobs this year.
Exactly. Nobody is kind of interchanging there. It's all the same thing.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think the defense is going to be better. I think that this should be a top 10 defense. I think at minimum, it's a top 7 passing attack. I think their run game will probably be like the 16th best instead of the 22nd best. And like, even like the worst thing happens to Buffalo, which is like a top 7 passing game instead of a top 5, top 3 one. I think everything else here is going to be good enough to kind of pick up the slack, though.
Well, and I will say this. You just feel like that with the Buffalo team. The reason why you're having to always say that they're going to be a top 5 team, it's because they have both sides of the ball, at least.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just one focus. At least, even if I can say they don't have a running game, there's still enough weapons on the throwing game to make it work here. It's just the defense. If the Josh Allen and that running game is not working, you go the 3-and-out. You're then putting your defense on the field. It's just them being able to last. If you're going up against a team like Kansas City, this would be the type of secondary that would be able to do it, though.
Yeah.
And this would be kind of the one or two AFC teams that you can truly trust, which is, again, why both you and I are really high on them. And I just don't see Buffalo truly slipping this year. I just feel like they're going to be staying the same, and I'd be very surprised if they're not in the AFC Championship playing against either the Kansas City or playing against the other team, of course.
Yeah, one of those teams out there.
Well, Tennessee and then Cleveland. I was going to say Cleveland, but Tennessee also came up, and I was like, I don't want to insult them too bad.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, Allen last year was third in DVOA, fourth in DYAR. Like you mentioned, he had 45 touchdowns. Like, I thought he was going to be good last year, and by good, I meant, like, the 16th best quarterback. I didn't think he was going to be a top five quarterback in the span of a season, and sure enough, that's what happened. And so, I mean, I expect for some regression here. I think it's just be very difficult to follow it up. But again, like, I don't see, like, some impending drop-off. I don't see Allen reverting to some sort of bad spot.
All you need to do is just always remember Stephon Diggs watching the other team on the field. That's all you need to know about how serious this team is. Stephon Diggs watching other teams celebrate.
With his hands on his head. Furious.
And he wasn't insulting them. It wasn't bad-mouthing. It was strictly, I just want this. That
yeah,
show.
I need to see it.
Yes.
Whenever I'm lifting weights in 3 months, this is what I'm remembering. This is what I'm feeling.
It reminds me so much of like the San Antonio Spurs losing to Miami, and then Greg Popovich the next season, all he did was play them the finals game that they should have won.
Yeah.
So it's them being able to have that, because it's not insulting like you blew it. It's more like you had your chance and you should have been the team that went up against the Bucks. Because I'll also ask you, Matt, would it have been better if it was Buffalo versus Tampa?
I think, yeah, of course it would have been better.
I think it would have been better, too.
I think it's been more enjoyable for everybody.
Exactly. In the end, but Josh Allen also didn't start too hard from what I remember.
No, I mean, they try to run the ball more than they should have because they're playing against the Chiefs, bad run defense.
That's not going to happen.
I have a good tidbit here that Stephon Diggs was the most valuable receiver running curls and slant routes.
Really?
And it just kind of shows like he's an all-around wide receiver that continuously picks up first downs and can kind of carry a passing offense on his own. I'm also like really excited to see Gabriel Davis this year too. Like he was pretty much a deep threat last season. I think like with the amount of speed he has, he can be an all-around wide receiver and be like a true number two on the outside. And so if you play fantasy football, I think Gabriel Davis would be a great pickup in, you know, the 9th round or whatever it's going to be.
Who would you rather pick up, Gabriel or Emmanuel?
Gabriel.
Who's going to get more touches?
I'd say Gabriel.
More TDs.
I like Emmanuel more from like a football reason, you know? Not necessarily like a production
Emmanuel
thing.
You just have like a little thing for Emmanuel. That's it. It's probably just because you like saying his name.
Emmanuel's a pretty good name.
It is.
There's a lot of nicknames come off of it, you know. You can be E-Man. You can be Manuel. You can be Manny.
Emily.
Yeah, you can be Emanily.
Yeah.
A lot of good names that come off of it.
It's wonderful.
All right, so who do you think leads this team in sacks? They got Jerry Hughes, age 33, Vernon Butler, Ed Oliver, Mario Addison, AJ Espinoza, Boogie Basham, Greg Rousseau. Who do you think leads this team in sacks this year?
I was going to say, I think it's going to be the Bash brother.
You think he's going to produce as a rookie this year?
That's exactly what I'm thinking. And it's only because it's the one guy that you're not truly, or at least I would hope teams aren't expecting to automatically be able to have a breakout season. But he's going to be the guy that I'm going to hang my hat to as the one that's going to be able to get in, hit the quarterback, and have a great rookie season.
Yeah. All right. Well, so we're getting here to the cute little prediction. And for mine here for Buffalo, it's Ed Oliver, Pro Bowl season. He's flashed a lot. He's been he's made some incredible plays. You're like, I can't believe he did that. The flashes are there. It's just like he doesn't have that consistent play-by-play performance. And last year he got rest in the offseason too, and everybody was kind of expecting this out of him. And you never see a player get a rest in the offseason, and then he has the best year of his career. It never works out like that. It's always kind of a down year, and then they need kind of year to come back from that. So Ed Oliver entering year three, I think he's going to be a Pro Bowler.
I think we've always said this, that it's always the year after. That if you look up everybody's drunk driving record, it's always the bad year, but then it's the year after that then they become something.
This is Melvin Gordon's year.
I don't know about that one.
I'm still not
going the Melvin Gordon thing. I'm not going there. All right, so for my prediction here, I'm going to go against everything I just mentioned. I'm going to say that one of these running backs break away. I'm going to say that it's either going to be decided between Moss, Singletary this season. One of them is going to have 1,000 yards.
I hope it just ends up being Matt Breida instead.
Well, that would be amazing because everyone believed that what's-his-face down in Miami didn't know how to use him at all.
Yeah, he just hurt.
But also, too, he truly, whenever Breida was breaking away and whenever he was making moves, he immediately pulled him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he played in San Francisco last year. He was just hurt.
It's just still the moment that Breida gets 20 yards. Okay, well, let's bring in somebody else. Why?
Yeah.
Why?
He's allergic to success. You know, some people are like that.
I hate it.
All right. So the over under here for the Bills, 10.5 wins. Are you taking the over or the under?
Yeah. With 17 games, how do you not take the over? So you're saying that Buffalo is not going to go 11-6. This is so easy. I would put all of my money on this.
Yeah, I'm taking the over two. I'm going 12-5.
Yeah, I'm going to put them at overall. I'm going to say probably you're at, but for the sake of this, I'll say still 11-6. I don't think it matters, though. It's still over.
I mean, nothing matters, you know.
No, right now, because this is all just us predicting the future.
Yeah. Call me now for your free football reading.
Exactly. How else am I doing this without my ball?
Uh-huh. So next team here. The Miami Dolphins. So the last time we saw the Miami Dolphins.
You said that with all thoughts, ooh, the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah.
You should have had a Dolph sound right there.
We're professionals here. The last time we saw the Miami Dolphins, it was week 17. They were playing the Buffalo Bills on the road. They got their fin cut off, turned into soup, and I think they lost 52-36. And even Mac Bartley completely obliterate them too. And so that's why they missed the postseason. This past draft, they had two first-round picks thanks to Larry Tunsil. They had two second-round picks. This is a roster of 5 first-round picks on it, 4 first-round picks in just the last 2 drafts, a ton of cap space. They went to work this year. This offseason, they had Will Fuller. They added Alan Butler. They added Justin Coleman, Matt Skura, Malcolm Brown, Nargent McKinney, Jason McCourty. You know, some good players here. They didn't really lose a whole lot, though, which is kind of one of the things, except from Kyle Van Noy, who they cut, you know, on purpose. But it's the same team kind of as last year, just better. They just have more good players, more good young players, too. And I think you're very excited for this Miami team.
Kind of. I would be if they didn't have just a Hawaiian that I don't like. And that's just because I don't trust the guy. where he has now so many weapons to be able to work with. Again, I'm just still not a fan of the Miami running game because we've talked about Gaskin before. He's okay in spurts, but I'm not truly confident.
He's better than the passing game.
Tua just is all about, I'm going to take the safest play I can possibly take, and it's going to work out. Oh, look, here's a three-yard pass. Let me just throw it. And also, when your coach doesn't trust you and your rookie, and he's like, let me throw in the guy that's going to win me the game, I don't see how that sits well with the young guy. All of the weapons, even on offense, defense, they have it all. I just hate Tua.
You hate him?
It's because it's, for example, with a guy like Tua, and then you try to tell me Tim Tebow is bad. I don't understand the difference in gameplay. That's what I mean. These guys are not playing any different to me, but yet people are like, oh, look, even Lamar Jackson I'll put in there. Oh, look, this guy made this one great throw out of 30 chances. Well, that's wonderful, but in the end, it's not good enough, and it's not going to win you the big games. Who are the ones that are always in the playoffs in the Super Bowl? The big throwers.
Josh Allen.
Big thrower. That's it.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned that. So, like, him and Ryan Fitzpatrick last year, the biggest difference was that Fitzpatrick was really good under pressure. And Tua started 9 games. You know, it wasn't like he only started a handful. He started 9. They kept pulling him for Fitzpatrick. Yeah, late in the year. And also, just Fitzpatrick threw the ball downfield more often. He averaged 7.2 net yards a pass attempt. Tua averaged 5.4. And that's 1.8 yard difference, you know. And so that was kind of the two biggest difference. I think the one thing, Tua, I don't know enough to feel like, oh, I can't wait to watch Tua this year, or I hate Tua. Like, you, I'm just like, it's like he's like a glass of tap water for me right now, like a goldfish in it. And I think he can do the following things. He's pretty mobile. He can escape pressure. He doesn't really run at all. I like the fact that he's left-handed, and he can throw the seam. He can throw a slant. He can throw a drag. And he can throw in the flat. But even then, he was one of the worst quarterbacks at creating yards after the catch. And that's kind of what worries me about this offense. Like, by adding Fuller, by drafting Jalen Waddle, by the existing wide receivers they have in skill players, you know, I really think this offense could be good in a setup where it's like a lot of short throws, a lot of screen passes, a lot of stuff where they're trying to get stuff after the catch. But with Tua's inability to be able to create anything, and also offensive coordinators, your former Houston Texans offensive coordinator George Godsey and Eric Studsville, who are co-offensive coordinators. This is Studsville's first job. I just don't trust it. Like, I don't fully buy in on it. So I'm kind of like, I just, it's very gray to me, but it's more like a dark gray, you know?
Well, it just seems like that even with Miami, they at least seem like that they were going to add some guys on the offensive line. They have now added the weapons where you even brought them up. Will Fuller, you have Devontae Parker, and then you draft Jalen Waddle at number 6. So you're giving him everything that you could possibly give him. By the way, Waddle and him played with each other?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay, so they at least already have a relationship,
he's,
correct?
He's thrown passes to him.
Yeah, so that's all you already need. So you're already trying to get some familiarity with the guy to be able to hopefully say, hey, you should throw it downfield and let's see how it works. I just can never see Tua being that guy. Was he that in college?
I mean, I think his, like, sophomore year he was. But, like, last year was a weird year for him, though. He had the hip injury he was coming back from with COVID. He didn't get to practice, you know, inside. You know, they didn't have the full practices, a lot of Zoom meetings and that sort of thing. I think he just lost a lot, and, you know, I think he learned on the fly some. But, again, like, I don't feel a whole lot about it, but it's trending downwards for me.
I'm still going to be that it's just even keel. I'm wanting this team to be able to take the next step here. I'm wanting them to be this good of a team that I feel like they should be. And, again, you have everything. By the way, is Xavier Howard and them okay? Or are they talking about, like, trading him now?
No, I think he's fine.
Is there a contract dispute going on with them?
No, he already re-signed a contract.
Okay, so then if you already have Xavier Howard and then you already have Byron Jones, you're having things out there to be able to have the turnovers. Because what we've even talked about before, do you think that they're going to be this turnover machine that they were last year?
No, probably not.
What do you mean probably not?
They forced a lot of turnovers last year. And you usually don't force so many turnovers the year after.
Why are we doing this? Howard had 10 interceptions. He's going to be able to do it again. This is the secondary that is going to be able to keep making plays. That's what's making this team fun. And then if you also have the other guys on the offensive side just running downfield the whole time, You're just throwing it everywhere. Everyone's catching balls except Tua.
Yeah, I mean, like, I like their composition, their skill players. Like, I love Gesicki. He catches everything. I love Will Fuller. I think he offers, like, so they're missing the offense, just his ability to make plays down the sideline. But he hasn't shown the ability to throw any passes down the sideline either. And it's in the Devontae Parker. Like, he's Parker's one of those receivers who doesn't create a whole lot of separation. So, like, throwing the ball is kind of difficult, but he's more about, like, making contested catches. And Tua hasn't had an awful job. Like, they had a really awful relationship last year. They were throwing coffee at each other. They were crying through, you know, bleeding mascara. It was a tough go-around for him. I hope that...
They're throwing coffee at each other?
Yeah. But, not like, you throw high on purpose, you know, just to spook them a little bit.
You know, gotcha. I
mean? It wasn't a full, like, taking the whole mug and pouring on their face. Nothing like that. Just a little spooking is all it was.
Of course, yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, like, I think I love what they have here in place. But, again, it's the quarterback. It's the offensive coordinator. It's just the fact that he hasn't done a whole lot of crane yards after the catch. And the offensive line here is young. It's talented. They just haven't been good yet at all. And so, like, you'd expect, you know, an improvement this year. But it's one of those offensive lines that, like, until we see it happens, we don't really know. And the Dolphins really kind of based around last year getting the ball out pretty quickly, too. So, can they pass protect long enough for Fuller and Parker to get open? You know, that's something we don't know just yet either.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, they were so quick on offense because they were throwing 3-yard passes the whole
damn. Exactly. So is that because of Tua? Is that because of the offensive line?
Tua. That was Tua all the way. And that was just because that's the first thing that he only looked at. It was one thing that he looked at, and it was called, I want to throw the 3-yard pass to get completions and to just see something. Because otherwise, he's not taking the shots down the field. It's something about timid with these new guys where it's, you're going to have to take the chances. I know you don't want to turn the ball over and everyone's going to make fun of you, but I would rather have everyone make fun of you instead of you refusing to throw the ball downfield.
Yeah, I think so too. But, like, can they pass protect long enough if he even wants to go deep? And that's kind of one of the questions also. Defensively, like you already alluded to, they forced a lot of turnovers last year, and you usually don't force so many turnovers year to year. But, I mean, this is a very aggressive defense. It's a lot of fun to watch. It's a headache for me watching it. I can imagine playing quarterback. I think I would, you know, call him sick and say, the food, it was a little bit too spicy last night. The meat was a little too pink the night before. I don't know if I can play a day because it looks like a migraine just even watching from the computer screen how I watch the game on. And they blitz a good amount, but they also show a bunch of blitzers. They don't blitz people. They drop guys back. Andrew Van Grinkle, I think, had like 4 touchdowns last year just making big plays. And they added a lot on the defense, too. They traded for Benarja McKinney, who should help with their run defense issues. They drafted Jalen Phillips, who I personally love. And they also added Adam Butler, who's a really good interior rusher from the Patriots, too. So they improved on their run defense. They add another body for their pass protection, for their pass rush. And if, like, he's able to get going real well, along with Ogba on the outside, this may be a defense that doesn't have to blitz, you know, 5 or 6 to create pressure, which would just make them even that more difficult and complicated to play against, too.
So then who's your favorite pass rusher?
Well, so my tidbit prediction this year is Jalen Phillips is going to win Defensive Rookie of the Year. So I'm going to go Jalen Phillips.
Oh, wow. Okay. So, I mean, but to your point, it does seem like that Miami has it on both sides with the backfield as well as with the rushers here, because you also have Ogba too, correct?
Yeah, he had 9 sacks finally.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a breakout year for Ogba.
Boom. So you already have the guys that are going to be able to make the plays here. And by the way, man, I'm sorry, but I'm reading something on Xavier Howard. One of my little insider sources posted something where it was about the Saints. One of their players tweeted about Xavier Howard going to them.
Oh, yeah.
Being traded.
They do this every year, though.
I know. It just bothers me whenever you have – this is the problem with Miami. Miami's so weird. When you have the team already intact, stop trying to just screw it up. Pay your players that you've already need to pay.
I thought he
doesn't show he has. That's what's now making me worry.
Yeah, I thought he already got paid. I'm very confused right now.
Well, me too. But again, it was somebody that tweeted – who was it? Hold on. I want to show you the – let me do this. Let me look this up. Hold on. Yeah, see? All right.
He signed a 5-year, $75.2 million contract last year with them.
Then why did CD Deuce put down Lat, Xavier, CD, PJ, Malcolm, and Marcus? Sheesh. And the Saints safety. Like, he's like making it seem like that it's just all like already a done deal in a way. I don't understand what's going on.
I think he had too many cornflakes this morning, personally.
That's probably it's happened. Because, yeah, it was this morning. Good Lord.
So the Dolphins forced 29 turnovers last year, which is first. You know, I will say, like, if you want a fun player to watch the Dolphins, you'll know about Andrew Van Ginkel is your guy. Creates a lot of turnovers, long, beautiful blonde hair, absolutely luscious. I would love to ride down that hair like a half pipe. And just a fun player from Wisconsin, like kind of mid-round pick, who's been really fun to watch. So he's kind of like Kyle Van Noy without having to pay him $12 million a year.
I'm happy for you. All right, I'm going to go back to this one more time here because you're right. By the way, you're exactly right on what you said. Xavien Howard, he was paid, signed a five-year, $75.25 million extension 2 years ago.
Yeah.
He wants a new and improved deal already because of his 10 interceptions last season.
Tell him to pick off 10 more.
That's insane that you're already wanting to have a new contract after 2 years into a five-year deal.
Why didn't he sign a two-year contract then?
Like, nobody in their right mind would ever do that. Who the hell is ever going to – Miami's not going to give into that.
It sounds like a Bill O'Brien thing to do. Maybe you should play, maybe you should play for the Texans.
By the way, would you like that?
Bill O'Brien coached the Dolphins.
No, and Xavien Howard went to the Texans.
I don't know what they would give for him. No, I wouldn't want Xavien Howard to waste here.
You can sell Bill O'Brien.
No, I don't like that. My other little cute little stat I have here, two of last year in go routes, the type of routes that Devontae Parker and Will Fuller are good at, 3 for 10 for 60 yards. 9 starts. He attempted 10 vertical passes down the sideline.
9 starts, huh?
Yeah.
And this is why Fitzpatrick was put in at the end of the games in order to win. This is insane, and that's exactly what I talk about. Because we've even said with Tua with the hip issue, he's not going to be a runner. I don't really see him being able to run the ball that much. I'm not expecting him to be what's his Kyler in freaking Arizona.
Yeah, Kyler and Skyler in Arizona.
There you go. But I'm not confident in this guy. Everything else I'm okay besides running back, quarterback, everything else I'm happy with.
Run blocking.
That's fine with me, too.
It's bad.
I think this offensive line is better than what you're giving them credit for. They're going to do just fine.
Are they going to surprise a lot of people this year?
They are. I feel like I'll put it this way. They're going to be just the same as the Buffalo Bills offensive line.
Okay. Interesting. All right. So what's your cute little prediction this year for the Miami Dolphins?
All right. My cute little prediction. Miami's going to miss the playoffs again.
Okay.
And it's going to be because of Tua.
Because of Tua, huh?
Because of Tua.
So mine is Jalen Phillips, Defensive Rookie of the Year. Miami misses the playoffs because of Tua. So their win total is 9. I'm taking the under. I'm going 8-9.
No, I'm not doing this bet either. I'm going to take the under on it, but the problem is I would pick them at 9-8.
You would pick them at 9-8, but you would take the under.
Yeah, I would take the under. I wouldn't make this bet in Vegas for sure. But I feel like this is the team that's going 9-8.
All right. Well, yesterday you said you would take the over and go 10, but I'm going to say under for Taylor.
Oh, do you have a recording of that? You have proof?
Yeah.
I need to have proof of that.
See, this is what I'm doing. You said some bad words last night, some things that you can't say at all anymore. So I have it saved, and I said, well, we don't have it, but I actually do have it, so I can use it to blackmail you whenever you run for office in 15 years.
That's good, because I feel like a lot of people would vote for me.
Yeah, I think a few.
I don't think anybody would.
If Epstein got an island out of it, I could at least get like a 12-pack of beer out of it, you know?
Well, that's why I wouldn't be able to be elected, and it's because I would then make my own island. So that's why I'm not allowed to.
Makes
sense. Who knows what would be on that island, though?
A lot of anime.
A lot of anime.
A lot of boys and a lot of anime.
That's all I need in life.
A lot of bouncy houses.
That's it. It's got to be a Batman bouncy house, though. Yeah. Otherwise, it doesn't count.
It'd really just be you and Joseph.
Those are the only people that would hang out with me. Joseph, and then Colton would send us texts.
Yeah, you'd be like, come on, guys, come down the island. So he's like, I can't. I have to fix these gutters. I have to breastfeed this weekend. He's like, come on, we'll have a good time.
That's good, man, that you're going to be breastfeeding here soon.
I'm already making milk.
God. It's going to be like a Stewie and Peter situation.
Exactly.
Stewie's going to win. Oh.
It's called colostrum, actually, right now.
That's good.
Yeah.
I'm just.
So the next team we have here, your favorite team, the New England Patriots. The Patriots are coming off a 7-9 season. I guess the worst season since what, like 1999? I don't know. They won the Super Bowl in 01.
I think it was 20 years. I think it was 20 years.
Yeah.
It's been a while because it's been at least two decades of them just manhandling their division. Because
even whenever they didn't make the postseason with Matt Castle, they still went 10-6 that year.
Did they really?
Yeah, they went 10-6 with Matt Castle.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, no, I remember that. So, yeah, no, I still think it's two decades. I think that's not exaggeration.
So the Patriots this year, they added $320 million to the contract, $170 million guaranteed. They added 10 starters in Matt Judon, Jonnu Smith, Hunter Henry, Jalen Mills, Nelson Agholor, Davin Godcho, Kendrick Bourne, Kyle Van Noy, Trent Brown, and of course, your favorite, run-stopping defensive end, Henry Anderson. 10 new players to a team that went 7-9 last year. They're also expected to play the easiest schedule in the NFL this year, in the AFC East as well, too. And so, like, are you, with Belichick's decision to do this, they haven't really invested in free agency like this in a long time. Like, the last time I remember this was whenever they gave Adelius Thomas, like, $80 million, and he was bad and never did anything at all for them. So is this, like, Belichick being old and trying to put together a team really quickly? Or is this just, like, the right strategy to take because they are, you know, maybe a couple starters away from being a Super Bowl contending sort of team again.
Ew, what? A Super Bowl contending team? What?
I'm just asking questions here.
Man, I don't like where this question's heading to.
I'm just either asking questions.
So what was the question here? I heard that last bit and I didn't like it.
So do you think this was something along the lines of that the Patriots added all these new players, not in an act of like desperation to be relevant, but because this is the right move to make whenever you have a window, you have cap space, you invest in free agency to make a leap to being a Super Bowl sort of team.
Yeah, except Bill never did this until Tom was away, and then Tom won a Super Bowl without Bill. And then all of a sudden, we're going to spend $170 million because we always did that for Tom because we love Tom so much. No, this is desperation all the way. I can smell it all the way from Texas, and I don't really like it. I'll give you this. Last year, when it came to their team, injured galore.
Yes.
I'm talking it was just beat.
31st most injured team last year. Only the Niners are more injured.
And they're always injured. That's why I can never be confident in them, and I want to be. When it comes to this, though, and that's where I would give New England a little bit of benefit of the doubt because Cam, being Cam, would probably need more time in an offense like this, even though I still think it's very simple. But when it comes to the defensive side of the ball, that's where Bill does need a preseason at least to be able to get his guys in the right places. With so many injuries happening, I can see why maybe last year they didn't make the moves. I just still find it very funny that all of a sudden we're going to spend $170 million, which is something
we've
guaranteed.
Never done. They spent $320 total.
And so that's what I mean. So $170 is guaranteed, correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they have to pay that.
When did they ever do that with Tom?
I said whenever they got Adelius Thomas.
They never did that with Tom.
They usually would just trade for players.
But it's not even you would get something spectacular. You never gave Tom – you never tried to give Tom offensive weapons like a Nelson Agholor, who all of a sudden became a deep threat in Oakland. I'm sorry, not Oakland, Vegas. But still, it's a little bit weird for me and fishy. And like I said, I can smell it from Texas.
I think it's a good sentence. I can smell it from Texas.
I figured you'd like
so,
that.
So they kind of have two different offenses here. I mean, I think first off, like I love their offensive line with Isaiah Wynn, Michael Mwenu at left guard, David Andrews at center, Shaq Mason right guard, and Trent Brown at right tackle. I think this could be a top five offensive line this year. And so they have two different offenses here. They have like the quick, you know, middle of field passing game with Mac Jones, where like they're able to create a lot of easy open throws for him. And he's a very accurate passer. I think he's more athletic than he gets credit for. You know, I wonder why. And they have that offense, and they also have the Cam Newton power run offense where they're running quarterback power, they're running zone read, they're running the ball 45 times a game. What offense are you expecting from the Patriots this year?
So it also, it kind of, but it also, let me ask you this, Matt. I'm going to, like I said last night, I'm going to answer your question with a question. When it comes to the New England, when is Mac Jones coming into play? When do you think?
Well, this is going to ruin my prediction, though. For this
we
one.
Need to get rid of your prediction.
It's going to ruin it. I'm picking, well, my prediction is that I think Mac Jones starts week one.
Okay, that's not going to happen. So when it comes to this, though, that's where I'm conflicted. So if Mac Jones is playing, by the way, they seem big on him at training camp, I will say. But if Mac Jones is playing, I think it's going to be less of that run heavy. It's going to be more of a passing game. If it's Cam, for no sure. way in hell that man can throw the ball. He can't throw it whatsoever. So there's only one
his,
thing.
His you shoulder's can't a horror movie.
What?
His shoulder's a horror movie.
Yeah, I know.
Like, it looks like he's throwing a javelin.
Yeah, it looks awful. And every and Cam, oh, I look so much better than I have. I feel so much better than 6 years. Cam, shut the hell up.
You're 33, Cam.
Awful. You, when the way he was throwing the ball, it was like he was dabbing while throwing it. It was the
My only hope for Cam is if he went down to Mexico and got some stem cells.
Is that the thing? Are you allowed to do that now?
Yeah, you can go to South America and get some stem cells.
Hold on. If I take those, is it kind of like South Park where I get to become like something special?
Yeah, like you know that nagging pain in your neck? It goes away because you got that young blood in you.
That's good. So it's pretty much like a reset of your whole body where
exactly.
you lose a year. Oh, what if that's what happens? You lose a year.
That's fine.
Oh, I'm in.
But that year you lost, that's the same year the Texas Rangers win a Super Bowl.
That's not the same year that the Texans are going to win the Super Bowl.
I said the Texas Rangers.
Oh, Texas
Rangers. Win a Super Bowl.
No, Texas Rangers win the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
That's exactly what's going
to
happen.
That's all I've ever won in my entire life.
They have a better shot than the Texans. Hey-oh!
I mean, they just lost 7 in a row. They got swept by the Tigers.
I'm still picking them.
Yeah, so I think it's going to be Mac Jones, and they're going to run this like power run offense that they're great at. I think they're pretty much going to – this is what they're going to do, Taylor. They're going to take the Tom Brady offense, and they're going to run it all over again, the quick passing offense, Betsy and Mac Jones instead. And I think he's going to be like the 20th best quarterback in the NFL at it. And like I like John Smith and Hunter Henry's ability.
Best quarterback?
Yeah.
Is that 20th like it's a compliment?
Yeah, for a rookie, that's good.
That's not that good.
It's better than Carson Wentz last year.
That's a little different. But Carson Wentz just needs a new scene.
I just think on the skill positions here just kind of open the door for like an easy passing offense where John Smith can be like used in a screen game. He can be used as a running back. He can be used to create lots of yards after the catch. Hunter Henry's really great at stretching the seam. Aguilar offers, you know, some deep playability. Kendrick Bourne's good at catching screen passes and kind of a little short stuff. Jacoby Myers was good last year with Cam. I don't know if he'll be good with Mac Jones. It seemed like that was kind of like a special Cam, you know, Jacoby Myers thing. And defensively here, their big problem last year was that they couldn't stop the run at all. They had one of the worst run defenses in football. They added Anderson and Davin Godcho. Dante Hightower's come back from sitting out last year because of COVID. Juwan Bentley can't tackle at all, but like he's fast and he can get to the ball. Maybe this year he actually tackles. And they also, like, on the edges, they have Van Noy and Winovich at one edge, and they have Judon Yuki at the other edge. Like, it's a deep front seven and pass rush as well, too. So I really like this pass defense. I really like this run defense. I really like this run game. And I think, like, this is going to be the 20th best passing attack. And with the schedule they play, that's more than enough to be a playoff caliber team for New England this year.
I agree, and I really want to be able to talk so much smack about them because I did on the last podcast. I picked them like the 28th, 27th, and I know I'm already going to have to change that because, to your point, the defense last year was still good. I mean, they truly went against Kansas City and held them to 13 points until the start of the fourth quarter. So there is something here in this team where they were always playing close games, always being able to give Cam some type of shot that he just can't take advantage of because he's so horrible. But with this defense,
well, that's
now,
a Brian Hoyer game too.
Exactly.
That was a Brian Hoyer, Jared Stidham game.
And that's also what makes me worry about Mac Jones though. What Jared Stidham, what happened?
He's bad.
He was supposed to be good though.
Yeah, it's the Ryan Mallett rule. You don't watch preseason games and think you know anything at all about this quarterback.
No, well, I mean, everybody, when it came to the media, when it came to, oh, we're getting rid of Tom because this is our guy. What a bunch of idiots. That's all I have to say about the Jared Stidham nonsense, which is why the $170 million, it's the desperation versus anything else. Because now you look so stupid, you have to try to make up for it. Because if New England doesn't make the playoffs, I think that is just hilarious.
Yeah, it's embarrassing if they don't.
Exactly. I think they will, because to your point, how easy the schedule is. I just don't – remember, this is the team that – trade or drafted Sony Michel instead of Nick Chubb.
Yeah.
Let's remember this.
They've been bad at drafting skill players the last 5 years or so.
And now all of a sudden I'm going to be confident. I just can't. I just can't.
Keneal Harry, bad. Sony Michel, bad.
I completely forgot about N'Keal Harry. Talk about a guy that was supposed to be just big and dominant and just ended up being big and worthless.
Yeah, like Kelvin Benjamin after the Pudding Pops.
That's exactly Kelvin Benjamin.
So you want to hear the Patriots schedule?
Yes.
So they start off Miami at New York Jets, New Orleans, Tampa at Houston, then Dallas. Then they get the Jets at Los Angeles, at Carolina, Cleveland, then at Atlanta, Tennessee, at Buffalo, then the bye, and then they end the year with at Indy, Buffalo, Jacksonville, at Miami.
So then to your little thing about how you feel like Mac Jones is starting, I don't. I feel like he's going to be starting in week 7, week 8, meaning the New England
against Carolina maybe?
Yes. And meaning, though, I think that New England's going to have a 500 record probably about week 6, maybe week 7, they're 3-4. But something's going to happen to where – it all comes down to Mac
like
Jones.
Cam getting hurt.
No, Cam, they're going to pull his ass.
I mean, but he also gets hurt too, you know.
Well, they're just going to make up that excuse saying that his shoulder never was fully healed or something was never fully healed because he's most likely broken in some place.
I mean, he was awful those 2 weeks in 19 when he played too.
He looked bad.
Like, that was really bad. And like last year he got COVID, but he was already bad before he got COVID too. So week 7, maybe they start Mac Jones against the Jets after they lose to the Texans and Cowboys. They get Texas two-stepped, you know?
That's exactly what would happen, because if you lose to the Texans, I think that something's going to be hitting the red flags or the panic button saying, this isn't right, we should have won this game.
Yeah.
Hey, at least you guys are going to have a win. Look, I'm picking the Texans for a win. Woo!
That's very sweet of you. The other weird thing about Cam last year, too, is that he was pretty easy to tackle in the pocket. Like, he took some bad hits last year in the pocket, and like usually he would just throw one guy off and make some off-foot throw, out-bounce, that sort of thing. He got crushed a lot. Mac Jones's Kubiak projections by Football Outsiders are pretty funny. So are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
374 out 563, 66.4 completion percentage, 4,059 yards, 26 touchdowns to 10 interceptions, and they get 4% DVOA.
Who is that?
Mac Jones.
That's not a projection.
Who? There's, Mac Jones.
No. He is not going to have 26 TDs and 10 interceptions. Oh, my God.
So the computer
says. You might love to say his farts don't smell. That's all I heard you complimenting him that much.
That's what the computer says.
Jesus Christ. He's going to be like 18-18. 18 TDs and 18 picks. Enjoy the rookie season, which, by the way, I'll take that because that's not too bad. But there's no way in hell he's going to be something special. 26.
That's what the analytic says, so I don't know.
The analytics are wrong as usual.
Sometimes. We'll have this conversation again in March. So my key prediction is that Mac Jones starts week 1. What's yours?
My key prediction is I'm going to say that Mac Jones doesn't come in until week 7. That sounds right. Cam will be Texas two-stepped. That is my prediction.
All right. I like it. So the win total for them is 9. Are you taking the over or are you taking the under?
Dude, I hate this crap. I'm going to take the under on this one, though. I still think that this is also a 9-8 team, but I'm going to take the under on this.
I'm going to take the over, and I'm going to go 10-7.
Is that a playoff in the AFC?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't think so.
What would you give their record be, 8-9?
Yeah, exactly. 8-9, 7-10, 6-11.
And then you had Miami at 8-9 as well.
Yeah. Well, I wanted them at 9-8, though. I'm not allowed to.
You can't. I mean, you you could say 9-8.
Yeah, what do I get, though? A push?
Yeah.
I don't know. This is Vegas, and I can't do it.
Well, you can take the under and think they're going to go 9-8.
All right, well, then I'm going to take the under, and I say they go 9-8, though.
Yeah, that's fine.
All right, good. Well,
this is just for accounting purposes.
Well, I need it, all right? We need to know these numbers.
Yeah. So the next team we have here, the New York Jets, this is a cursed ground. The Jets really did not want us to talk about them last night, and I put a bunch of tofu in my GPU so we couldn't talk about them. But this time, the New York Jets, and the Jets did that thing a lot of teams do when they're bad. They find a team that's good, and they go, let's do everything that team does, and we'll just try to do it again over here. They added Mike LaFleur, who is Matt LaFleur's younger brother, to be their offensive coordinator. They got Robert Saleh from San Francisco to be their head coach. And their defense coordinator is going to be Jeff Ulbrich, not associated with San Francisco at all. But they're going to try to play San Francisco-style football in New York by running like a 4-3, cover 3, cover 4 defense. They're going to run mid-zone play-action offense. And they did this by drafting Zach Wilson the first round and also Elijah Vera Tucker as well, too, to kind of round up the left side of their offensive line. Are you expecting any sort of maybe like surprise season from the Jets? Like, could this be a oh wow, the Jets are suddenly 9-8? Do you have any optimism at all for the Jets this year?
Oh no, I thought you were gonna say, oh look, the Jets are finally have 6 wins. They're 6-11. Look at them. They've actually made a step forward this season, which I think that's what's gonna happen. I think the Jets are at least going to be entertaining in sense. The only problem...
Well, they were entertaining last year. Watching Joe Flacco play quarterback for him was one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
But do you like Zach Wilson at all?
I like him, but I just don't have a good feeling. Like, I think it can work out with the Jets for him only because he's good in space. He's good on bootlegs. He's good throwing the ball downfield. He's good on the run. Yeah, and like that's what this offense is kind of based around. But... My chakras are off. My female intuition's just, I just have a bad feeling about it. Like I don't like Wilson in New York, you know?
Well, it just doesn't seem like that he's the right fit for this team, which isn't why everybody believes that San Francisco pulled the ultimate curtain? Like just the
Yeah, but I think
like, trick them in ways.
I think Fields was the Jets quarterback.
But that's what I mean. It just seems like that Jets...
I don't think Lance was the guy for him. I think Fields was.
That would make sense to me. I would be all for that. And the other, of course, quarterback that they should have had is the Trevor Lawrence, and they lost that sweepstakes.
Yeah, that was the most important thing. They couldn't even screw it up right.
Yeah, exactly right. And so that's where when it comes down to the New York Jets, I just feel like you already misstepped by losing last year, which is such a New York thing to do because you were supposed to be the worst team and you just couldn't even do that. So now you're coming into this season believing that they're taking the right steps because they've also added now a receiver in Corey Davis for them. They drafted a receiver for them.
Elijah Moore.
And you're now going to have protection in the offensive line. It seems like they are building a proper team in New York for Zach Wilson. So that at least gives me a little bit of hope that they're going to take their time with him and they're not going to do a damn Darnold thing of just saying, here you go.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing – so like, do you think Corey Davis is an offensive carrying number one wide receiver?
You know, it sucks.
Like, do you think he's like a Stephon Diggs sort of, like DeAndre Hopkins player in that mold, an A.J. Brown sort of player?
I'm going to answer your question with a question. Do you think that he's better than Robbie Anderson in this offense?
Yeah.
Okay. Then
I think they're two different players, though.
But no, I'm just going to say this. If you think that he's going to be a better receiver overall than Robbie Anderson, then I'm going to say he was worth it. I don't think he's as good as the other guys you mentioned by any means. He's had one good season. I just think that it is a nice weapon to give a young kid because you're already drafting a talent in the receiver already. So you're already giving him a weapon. So now it's just now giving him a kind of, I don't know, how long has Corey Davis been in the league?
5 years.
So I was going to say, you're giving him a little bit of a veteran presence of a guy who understands and who's been around to make him feel comfortable, or at least you would hope. And that's what I think Zach Wilson needs because – I don't like him.
And Davis is playing a similar offense, too. I agree with that. Like, I'm not saying he's Julio Jones or whatever. But like, I'm just talking about just him being like a guy who can be the predominant player to create first downs. And he wasn't that in Tennessee. He never was that in Tennessee. But he's tall. He's physical. Like, I think he's a good like 1B wide receiver. I think he's more of a number two wide receiver than a true number one that they pay him to be. And like, that's what they're expecting from him, though. Elijah Moore's in that. Jameson Crowder likes to catch 12 passes for, you know, 64 yards and that sort of thing. Denzel Mims is like kind of Devontae Parker, where he has to catch a lot of passes in space. And, you know, Mims' baby is on a roll this year entering the season. But I don't hate their skill positions, though. Like, I think it's fine. I like Michael Carter at running back. I think he'll take over for Tevin Coleman and Ty Johnson, you know, pretty early on the season. But it just, like, it just doesn't feel right, though. There's just something kind of gangrene about it, you know?
Well, I'm not saying it's something off. The problem is that it's the Jets.
Yeah, so that's part of it, too.
Yeah, you're having to convince yourself that, man, I believe that they're finally going to be able to do things right. The only issue I have with this team is, do you like kind of what they're doing, though? Do you like that they seem like they're taking their time versus in the past where it seems like to your point, you feel like they're copying some teams here? I think that's a good thing. We're not going to listen to ourselves this time because we're always wrong. Let's look at others and just copy and paste.
Yeah, that works until you find your own voice. That's what everybody does. They copy other people until they develop their own personality. And I think the Jets are similar like that, too. Okay, so here's some good things. I think Mekhi Becton is going to be like one of the 10 best left tackles in football after this year. I like Elijah Verrett Tucker a lot as far as like his ability to get to the second level. I think he's a really good pass protector at guard. Like, I think that could be one of the best teammate duos in football for years to come. McGovern kind of sucks. Van Rodden's all right. Morgan Moses kind of sucks. It's like half their offensive line, I think, is going to be really good. The other half's going to be whatever. And I just don't like Moses and McGovern that much either, and Van Rodden in the sort of scheme they're going to run too. They're going to have to teach them how to play, you know, different sort of offensive line. They don't have any tight ends. So I'd say, like, there's four good things about this offense. Five, if you include Mims.
I was going to say, who is their running back right now, too?
So it's Tevin Coleman. Remember him?
Yeah.
Ty Johnson. Michael Carter, who they drafted from North Carolina in the third round. And good old P. Ryan.
Oh, God. P. Ryan's going to end up being a starter in the
end. I like P. Ryan.
I know. Everyone does.
I think Michael Carter's going to be the starter here, though. I think he's going to be really good.
You think over Coleman, really?
Yeah.
You think Coleman will just be used as like a weapon? Maybe just kind of like a
safety
blanket?
A lot of passes.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. Just safety blanket for Zach Wilson to be able to get comfortable. Because I agree with you on this sense, too. Man, who the hell's their talent? What else do we have here on this team?
Well, last year, it was like, everybody get excited for Chris Herndon. He's going to be a top 10 fantasy tight end. He had 200 receiving yards. Tyler Kroft played tight end for the Bengals. Always would have like 200 receiving yards. So maybe one of those guys is good. And they also have Ryan Griffin, former Houston Texan. Went back home to the Jets. Had one good year at Gase. Re-signed him. Was bad last year. He's going to be there as their third tight end as well, too.
Man, they're thinking Ty Johnson is going to be the starter. Woo!
It's going to be Michael Carter.
Hey, man, I'm just saying. They're showing Ty Johnson. I'm trying to look up who their tight ends are. It's really bothering me. Yeah,
Chris Herndon, Tyler Kroft, and Ryan Griffin.
Man, I don't know who any of these people are from the New York Jets.
So you want to hear the Jets' last 5 years of performance?
Yeah.
5-11, 5-11, 4-12, 7-9 breakthrough season, 2-14. Joe Flacco returns.
There it is. And that's why I'm going to say I think this is a 6-win team. I think that is going to be a positive 6 wins, not something where they're just going to look into. I feel like the Jets are going to be making the correct steps in the end.
So the defense here, so they have a few problems. I like their safety group. They have Ashton Davis and Marcus May, and they have LaMarcus Joyner as like a third safety here. Their linebackers are Blake Cashman, Jared Davis, and C.J. Mosley. Mosley got hurt in 2019 after signing a big contract to go there, and then he sat out last year because of COVID. And like that's kind of the key of this defense, you know? Especially in coverage, like he has to cover the flat, he has to cover crossers, he has to rotate the seam to cover, he has to run the seam to cover those throws too. And Mosley has never really done that in Baltimore. And not only that, he hasn't played in 2 years. And football is not like a sport where you can just like not play it all for 2 years and just kind of return. And so I think that's a big problem there. Their cornerback play is really bad, but this defense kind of mitigates it. And then their front four pass rush, I think, could be good, but I think it really kind of depends on how healthy Sheldon Rankins is. Because he was really great in 19, and then he tore his Achilles and hasn't been the same since. And so Quinn Williams is a star in the making. Carl Lawson has a great long arm. Vinnie Curry is whatever. But I think it really kind of depends on what they can get out of Rankins, though, to kind of make that front four go to.
I agree. And you would hope that maybe the Jets, once again, are going to be able to put some pressure on people. But the problem is the division. Overall, it's them having to go up against these teams that, like what we talked about at the beginning, the AFC is too dominant. So the Jets are already going to have to play against Bills, who we already think is top three, Miami, who we think is on the fringe, going to make moves if they have the proper quarterback play. And then you have New England, who's just going to have a dominant defense. So now it's the Jets having to be able to make moves, being able to take strides in the correct direction. Hopefully their defense is going to be able to make plays. But I feel like they're going to give up so many points, man. I feel like, yeah, you're right. They're going to be able to rush the quarterback, make some moves. But their cornerback play is going to be so bad. They're just going to be thrown on every single game. And I feel like they're just going to be blown out 42-23 every single time.
Yeah. Well, last year they had the second to last offense. The year before that, they had the worst offense. The defense has always kind of been like slightly below average. I don't know. I think the biggest issue is just the linebacker position. And it really kind of depends on how much front four pass rush they can get. Because like this defense does a really good job of masking weakness at cornerback. But yeah, like I think this is the worst cornerback group in football, and that won't help things either. So out of all the quarterbacks in the AFC East, if we include Mac Jones and Cam Newton, rank the quarterbacks in the AFC East from top to bottom.
So with the top to bottom, all right, Josh Allen. Oh God. I'm gonna say Zach Wilson.
Allen, Zach Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
Then who?
Then Tua. Oh God. And then I'm gonna put Mac Jones.
And then Cam last.
And then Cam last. I have to put Cam last.
It's funny because like these are three top five picks here. When we include Wilson, or three first round picks, when we include Wilson, Jones, and the other guy, Tua, of course.
That's really hard for me. Yeah, it's tough. That was a struggle, man. I'm hurting over here.
You're a little purple over there.
God, I didn't know what to do. I don't like that question.
Yeah, I think I would go Josh Allen, Mac Jones, Zach Wilson, Tua, then Cam Newton.
It's funny that you're still not big on Tua, though, too.
Yeah, I just like it's very bland, you know? I don't know.
It's just nothing impressive. He's not a Kyler where he's shown you something spectacular.
So for the New York Jets, do you think this is the final iteration? Like, do you think Robert Saleh is going to be here for 5 years and he's going to build the next good Jets team? Or are we going to go through another revolving door where Saleh lasts for, you know, 2 or 3 seasons and the Jets are doing this all over again?
No,
believe in Saleh and Zach Wilson?
For 5 years, yes. I do. And it's because what I hate, though, is that you would think the Jets should be taking their time, because in the 3 to 5 year span, because you got about 3 years here to build this team up to what you want it to be. After 3 years, though, you should then be having some shots here to take advantage of the AFC, because you have now the Kansas City where you have everyone getting older, maybe not as young and fresh, all like the studs. I don't know. I feel like the Jets are on the right path. It just comes down to next year and the following year for me. Not really this year. This year, I think, is step.
So this year is just like fun, get to know each other.
Exactly. This is the first day of school that everybody loves. It's that first week where you're just meeting and don't have homework.
Yeah, syllabus week.
Exactly.
Your homework is go home, have your parents sign all the stuff so we can indoctrinate your children.
Exactly. And we can make sure you can take the sexual education courses.
Yeah. My child's not taking that.
Why would they?
I'm teaching him over here.
I'll teach him at home.
Yeah. I'm putting a movie on. I'm going to show him how it's done.
Yeah.
I'm calling his mother over. I'm showing him how it's done. This is how I'm teaching him.
I don't want to keep going with this.
I think this is like, I don't know. I think it's going to be a fun thing for the Jets. Good for them. I don't think it's going to work. I think it's going to be, you know, a disaster, mainly because it's the Jets. Like, I think Saleh has things together. He's not like, yeah, I'm Gase, and that was a terrible decision. I don't know. I wish this was Justin Fields. If this was Justin Fields, I'd feel a lot better.
And that's the problem, is that with Wilson, you just think that he's not going to be a bad quarterback. You just don't think it's a right fit.
Yeah, like, I would love him in, like, I don't know, Indianapolis, I guess.
I would love, I'll put
Miami. He'd be great in Miami.
I think he'd be great in Washington.
Great, yeah, Washington, Seattle.
Yeah, exactly. This just doesn't seem like the correct team all around.
It seems like the wrong city for him, too.
New York is now, New York, I own that town. Forget about it!
Yeah, it seems a little too hardcore for him, you know?
I agree, especially what the media is already doing with him and his mom.
Oh, what are they doing to him?
I don't know, making comments. I don't know. I think she called somebody like a whore the other day, too.
Oh, okay.
Hey.
Was their dress like 6 inches instead of down to the knee, down to the ankles?
Of course.
You always have leg.
Exactly.
Hey, that's the way it should be. Only your husband gets to see that leg.
I don't know what that is. What is this?
Yeah.
Are we living in the old times in the prairie?
We don't pay this mortgage for you to show that leg off to anybody else.
Oh my God. I love it. I need to make those rules in my household.
All right. So my cute little New York Jets prediction is, I think Mekhi Becton's going to be like, so like next year when they come out with all the top 10 left tackle lists, I think Mekhi Becton's going to be on those lists next year.
I think the Jets are going to have 7 wins.
7 wins?
You like that?
Yeah, you really like the Jets then.
Hey, man, I said it's a stepping stone, and it's 7-10.
That's good.
I know.
Do you want to hear their schedule?
Yes, lay it on me.
Oh, I'll lay on you.
Oh, so I love
it. So they're playing the 20th toughest projected schedule. They start off at Carolina, the Sam Darnold revenge game, New England at Denver, Tennessee at Atlanta in the UK, the bye, at New England, Cincy, at Indy, Buffalo, Miami, at Houston, Philly, New Orleans, at Miami, Jacksonville, Tampa Bay, at Buffalo. There's a chance they can win. There's like 6 games they should be in.
If I was any team that was going to UK, I'd just see Mealy pick up Blake Bortles for that week.
That'd be great.
And then just drop him the next week.
That's the only player the Packers had this offseason was Blake Bortles.
That's good. That's going to work out.
They have the exact same team, but they have Blake Bortles.
That's good. Yeah, if I'm Aaron Rodgers, I'm freaking pissed.
The Jets' backup quarterback is James Morgan, and I think that's
never heard of that
to,
guy.
I think this one's going to come back to haunt him. Like, I don't trust the right side of this offensive line, and you know, Wilson's kind of a little guy. I'm kind of worried about his ability to stay healthy for the entirety of the year. Yeah,
him watching the draft and him looking up to the other guys is like the saddest and funniest thing.
He looks like he should be in a Fisher Price commercial.
He does. It's the weirdest thing. Toys R Us kids.
Yeah, he's a Toys R Us kid is what he is. So the over-under for the Jets is 6.5. I'm taking the under. I'm going 4 wins.
I'm taking the over. I'm taking the 7.
Yeah, you said that. So, I'm just worried about Wilson's health. I think, like, I could definitely see James Morgan start 5 games this year.
Oh yeah, I could say it. Yeah. Because I would think though too, I would just say that automatically if they have already a losing record. If Zach Wilson just even has like a banged knee, for example, then I think that they would sit him for at least a week or two until he's like 150%. Because there's no rush.
Yeah, or just until next year.
Yeah,
there's no rush. All right, so recap. I have Buffalo going 12-5. You have 11-6. Miami, I have them going 8-9. You have 9-8, but you're still taking the under. New England, I have 10-7. You have the under at 8-9. The Jets, I have the under at 4-13. You have the over at 7-10.
Hell yeah, baby.
It's a fun division.
It's going to be. I thought it would be.
Like, I'm excited. I don't know. I'm excited to put together like the list of like the teams I'm most excited to watch this year. And Buffalo is a top 5 team, probably like top 1 team. And I would say like New England's probably like 16th. Miami's probably like 12 because I'm interested in two. I think Miami's more interesting than New England is. I think the Jets are probably like 24th, 26th. I just think it'd be kind of bad, you know?
Yeah, no, I think that Miami should be fun to watch without you having to
They're interesting, at least.
But New England, I think, is going to be boring football. It's just going to be truly offense. Or no, I'm sorry, not offense, just defensive football. The games are going to be like 16-10, every single one of them.
Yeah, and draft Damian Harris like the third-round fantasy.
That's exactly what I'm going to do.
I'm going to do it first.
No, you're not. I'm not even going to draft that guy. Have fun with any of their running backs when Burkhead is the one that's starting in week 10.
Hey, Burkhead's in Houston.
Oh, he'll be traded back.
Yeah, for a 9th-round pick.
For
and the draft ends, the Texans are like, what the hell? There's only 7 rounds in this thing? Got us again.
You bamboozled us.
And then he's going to kick the dog, you know.
That's exactly what's going to happen. He's going to kick the dog.
Yeah.
Dude, that puppy's adorable.
Uh-uh.
I'm now a Texan fan.
No. Well, that's our show for tonight as we kick off the 2021 NFL season preview with the AFC East. Next time we're back, we're going up north. We're going north to the AFC North.
Cold.
We're going to get a little chilly with the Browns, Bengals, Ravens, and Steelers. Until next time, I'm Matt Weston. Thank you for listening to Battle Red Radio. And thank you, Real Time.
Still have to find something new since I can't make fun of Josh.
That sounded good to me. I thought it was pretty good.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds 4 times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.